Temple Montagne, the research of the committee.
Okay, take it cool. Come closer to the mic, please.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Louis van der Walt from the National Department of Human Settlements and the Policy Unit.
Van der Club, National Human Settlement.
Hello, Madima.
Come closer to the mic. Hold on, Chief.
My name is Silo Madima from Human Settlement.
Thank you. I'll start from the side. Go that way.
I'm on the pilot Kwebo committee secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Kavane Zulu, Director General for the Department of Human Settlements at the National Level.
Thank you, Chair. Neville Cheney, Department of Human Settlements, Deputy Director General, Chief of Operations and Strategy and Planning. Thank you.
Good morning, Anton Arrington, National Department.
Sorry, before we continue, I didn't hear that one.
My name is Anton Arrington, the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Funani Matadi. I'm the CFO of the Department of Human Settlements at National. Thank you.
My name is Wanda Nkosi. I'm the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Maurice Ichi from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mili Lakaba, Assistant to the Director General of the Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Adnan Masuku from PNG.
Good morning, members. My name is Chairman Mbata. I'm from the National Department, Digital Office of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Sean Solomon from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Thank you. As we have introduced ourselves, except one gentleman who didn't introduce himself.
Good morning, everyone. Apologies, Chair. Shoaib Dinesen, committee section.
Right. Honorable members and the department. Another thing which I'd like to request is that, yes, I was coming to that may we please try and switch off our cell phones. That is number one. And number two, what I would request is that, to indicate that you are more than welcomed. And department, time and again, we used to say, be with us in order to empower us. And this briefing of today is very strategic, as we are going to debate the budget which is allocated to you. And this debate comes to the time where it's very crucial about the future of South Africa, in particular the provinces, the nine functions. And I think this budget will form part of the umbilical cord of our country as well. Therefore, we need all of us maybe to guide each other in order to make sure to empower us when we do those recommendations in terms of supporting or the motivation in terms of the request, so that we can be clear on what we're talking about. So therefore, we need both sides to be cool, and we listen to your input. I'm subject for correction, members. Some time ago, there was a briefing by the department, but the concern which was raised by the members was that most of the focus of the department, they don't take MCOP on board. They focus on NA. Therefore, we requested them that when they come back, to that they must go and plan and rearrange that this presentation must focus on our line function, which is the provinces. Therefore, without wasting any time, but before that, TG Umama Temba raised something, you know, from our side. This is a small house, and I know that members, some are still on their way, but some of them, we are sharing members. Yeah, the issue of COPO, Congress of Boys only. It must be corrected, TG, seriously. So you can look at your delegation. You see, it tells a lot. And added by the member of the PMG, because anybody, if was this side, will thought that everybody from your department is male only. It must be corrected. We take it very seriously, so, in terms of our constitution of this country. But nevertheless, over to you with your presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for your welcoming remarks. I want to extend my sincere gratitude to the members of the NCOP, and thanks for once more inviting the department to share with you our strategic focus for this financial year. Chair, you have put it quite correctly that in our last presentation, the department presented to this committee what I'll term as a very comprehensive new strategic approach that the department wants to take upon the completion of our turnaround strategy, which we have since completed, but most importantly as well, upon the completion of a new structure for the department, which took effect on the 1st of April of this financial year, with a lot of fundamental strategic changes that will be taking place at the national level. Chair, I would say that the committee was much more, as you have also raised it yourself, Chairperson, more concerned about the focus of how our budget at the provincial level is going to be allocated, and how the business plans in particular for the implementation of human settlement project is going to be undertaken at a provincial level. And we thought with your invite and with the issues that have been raised in the invite, particularly in relation to the budget vote which is taking place tomorrow, there could have been no better opportunity for us than today to reflect and put much more emphasis on our presentation on how the allocation of the budget at provincial level has been done and which specific areas will be attended to in terms of implementing our budget for this current financial year. We will also reflect on how the budget for this department looks like for this financial year, and again, what will be the areas of strategic focus as we implement our budget, informed and influenced mainly by the cabinet decisions, in particularly the outcome 8 in terms of deliverables, but most importantly as well also influenced by various priority projects that we have identified at national level and narrow it down to the provincial level in terms of how allocation for all provinces who have a sole responsibility and mandate to implement most of the projects for the department will be allocated at provincial level. Without any waste of time, therefore, Chair, I would request that maybe we start with the draft budget plan with the CFO, whereby we will be reflecting how the budget for this particular financial year has been structured for the department, and then thereafter we'll then reflect how the allocations at provincial levels have been undertaken for the purpose of implementation. So I will request that the CFO takes us through the draft budget for this financial year, and then from there we'll look into the different provincial allocations as have been determined already. And I must indicate, Chair, that in the last technical min-mec that we have had with our HODs, we have shared this with them, and they have submitted their business plans of how they intend to implement the budget for this year. I must indicate that in this financial year, which is starting on this week on Thursday, we are having a min-mec, whereby again, after a typical min-mec, the information will be shared with MINMEC in terms of how the budget has been allocated to different provinces and how the formula was used to allocate. There was too much emphasis on allocation of how the formula has been used. I must indicate that the portfolio committee has raised some concerns just for information about some policy issues, particularly with regard to the formula which National Treasury is using to allocate budget, which is something that current moment beyond our control, but it's a matter which we look into. So we'll present it as it is, but I must indicate that on Thursday when we meet with MINMEC, we'll then be sharing with them how the budget has been structured in terms of the actual allocations for this financial year. So I will then request the CFO to take us through the presentation for the draft allocation for the department for this financial year. Thank you, CFO. Honourable members, don't be surprised today, you know. That's why the department is still preparing themselves now. You know the story, Mdwana, that one there is a Zulu on my stoop. Today there are two Zulus in my stoop. I'm surrounded by them. That's why it's very difficult to start. Honourable members, please bear with us. We are trying to get to the right memory stick. That must tick.
Thank you.
Good morning once again, honorable members. Michael, can we go to the next slide? Generally, as we would know, that the budget for the departments, including National Human Settlements, gets their vote from the Division of Revenue Act, and for the financial year, or rather the medium-term expenditure framework, moving forward, the department was voted an amount of 25.2 billion in 2012-13. And
hold on. Members, do you have this copy?
Okay,
you can continue.
As I was saying, in terms of our medium-term expenditure and the Division of Revenue Bureau, or the Act, we had received 25.2 billion in the 2012-13 financial year, and the final outer year, which sums the 3 years, it's 30 billion. But now the emphasis that one would want to place on this budget moving forward is the fact that the departmental budget is mainly on its own, focusing on the Housing Development Finance as a program, where the Human Settlement Development Grant is based, and where it takes 93% of the entire 25.2 billion budget in this financial year, and of the 30 billion in 2014-15. Now, the issue here is that the 22.3 billion, if not 23 billion, that comprises of two conditional grants in this financial year, which members would also recall that in the previous financial year, the department had an urban settlement development grant managed by the department for the first year. This will be the second year of it. Hence, the budget of the conditional grant has moved to 23 billion. And as I would move, the breakdown will be given as such. Now, the department is still currently sitting with five programs, administration being the program that is also supporting the other programs as well, where the minister, the director general, and the deputy ministers, operational budget, as well as our corporate services, is sitting. Then we've got a housing policy research and monitoring, which is also one of the core functions of the department that is supporting the Human Settlement Development Grant. That's now program two, at $46,719,000, and our main grant support program, which at this point in time is written as housing planning and developer support, is where the grant is actually implemented at a provincial level, and it's supported by the budget of $286,000,000. Housing development finance, that's where the whole budget of the department is kept, the 93% that I spoke of. That will be actually divided into the transfer to housing institutions, human settlement development grant, urban settlement development grant, as well as the operational cost of the program four, similarly to program one to program five, or the same as program one to program five. Now, the strategic relations and governance, which is our last program, program five, is more concerned with the IGR issues and governance of the department. Now, the whole budget sums to 25.2 billion. Maybe if we can move to the other slide. Now, the crux of the whole budget is the fact that the budget or the grant and the transfers of the department get transferred to different institutions in the department, the main being the Human Settlement Development Grant. Hence, I want to believe that the discussion between the chairperson and the Director General made the focus of this presentation. The HSDS, HSDG, is taking 15.7 billion of the entire 25.2 billion, with Urban Settlement Development Grant taking 7.3 billion of the same 25 billion. Now, as you know, that we've got housing institutions that also that are mandated to also support the National Department of Human Settlements in different activities that are mandated in terms of their mandatory functions. We have different categories of budget that are allocated to them. Of the main, it's capital grant or the capital budget, as well as the operational budget. Now, as we look into the slide, we have the Rural Housing Loan Fund at an amount of 52 million, which is 51.9. The Housing Development Agency supporting the land issues at 92. Then we've got our National Urban Reconstruction and Housing, which is our NURTURE. And we all know that it's sitting behind the development of small construction and growing and emerging contractors. It's receiving 100 million in this financial year. Then we've got our Social Housing Regulator Authority at the both operational and capital restructuring front, where the social and rental housing facilities, as well as the support, is actually implemented. Then the last two may or may not be actually used, but they form part of the transfers that we send to different institutions. The 1 million, the gentleman's head is depriving me of the figure. It's 1 million. Thank you very much. These are all our transfers. Now, if one takes at the 7.15, you can move to the next slide, Chair Neville, thank you. This is the main grant of the department, and this is where our main focus as a department is, which is the provision of sustainable human settlements to all our communities, divided into our 9 provinces, as we all know, using the approved allocation formula. But I want to also emphasize that in this financial year, within the same 15.7 billion, there's an amount of 204 embedded on that that only focuses on disaster relief grant. In the past, members would recall that that money was actually shown separately, but it has been combined. But the idea is for us to be able to focus on disasters as they would appear and as they had appeared in the past, but where the money was not given. In this instance, that amount also appears to be an earmarked fund, and the provinces have been actually noted as such to earmark the amount. And it should, although it forms part of the grant, but it should be utilized specifically for the disaster relief in different provinces. Now, the notion here is that it's only Western Cape. It may not be seen and it may not be shown, but it's only Western Cape that does not have an allocation for disaster. That amount was only given to Eastern Cape up until Northwest, and is mostly where disasters had happened in the past. And we know that for the fact that the main one is KwaZulu-Natal. But now the 294 is also divided according to the allocation formula. But as we shall report the performance of the grant as we move towards the financial year, it will be shown separately in terms of our performance, depending on when the province is utilized for that particular disaster. But some of them already have started using it because we had disasters last year, and there was not much money allocated to the provinces. Next slide. Now, we went further to allocate the urban settlement development grants in terms of our approved and accredited metros, with Eastern Cape sitting with 2, that is Nelson Mandela and Buffalo City, at a tune of a billion, divided into 499 and 592. Free State, which is Mangaung, receiving 485. Gauteng with 3 metros, at the tune of 3.5 billion of the 7.3. And then we have Echigwini in KZN and our city of Cape Town in 1.2 billion. Next slide. I'm not so sure, Gigi, if I should actually stop there, but I actually thought that while we add the allocations of the department, we went further to allocate portion of the 15.7 billion to our priority programs. Our priority programs in this financial year are as based to the model that we indicated also to the select committee in the previous financial year, whereby we have nominated a number of priority projects in different provinces. Now, we took a portion of the 15.7 billion. My apologies that the slide is actually not shown, but I'll just say a snapshot of how the 15.7 is actually allocated to our priority programs, which I want to believe that the minister will also focus on and just elaborate in his budget votes probably tomorrow. And I'm saying probably because one cannot anticipate the speech. However, the issue here is that we have allocated a portion, which is 20% of the 15.7 billion to our national priority program in support of the outcome 8 outputs, as well as in support of those national priority projects that have been proclaimed as such. But I think as we move along, and in the presentation that Mr. Anton Aronso will present, it will be reflected as such. So just want, and I just thought DJ could mention that prior to Anton saying something. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Therefore. I think, Chair, that's just high level of how the financial are looking for this financial year. For the implementation purposes, so this is how our strat plan is going to be implemented. And as I've indicated earlier on, this is the presentation that members may not have at your disposal, because the presentation you have was focusing on the strategy as well as the financials. But we decided upon reflection that we should also go deeper and give you a synopsis of how provincial allocations are going to be dealt with, and that's the next presentation. And that will give you a full view. And I think the point that has been made by the CFO at the end, Chair, it's a reflection that we also have national priority projects and cabinet decisions, particularly with regard to three projects which are cabinet decisions, which is Konubia, Palare and Lufering, forming part of the 20% of the priority project, which we will touch upon as we present on the next presentation. Chair, if you allow me, I will ask Anton to take us through the presentation that reflects how the business plan now for 2012-13 financial year looks like in terms of the provincial allocation. Thank you, Chair. Anton?
CFO's initial presentation talked very quickly about the budget vote which has been allocated to our department. This presentation will really begin to unpack how the bulk of that allocation is going to be spent. And specifically, I will address this presentation or highlight specific issues as they pertain to the work of provinces. You will know, and the CFO has indicated that for this financial year, 15.7 billion of that budget is being used by provinces. It is a Schedule 5 grant, so it is a conditional purpose grant, a specific purpose grant. In the presentation, though, we will also talk about, in brief, the USDG, and specifically how these grants are beginning to talk to one another, and by implication, how provinces and those metropolitan municipalities are now beginning to align their programs and priorities, and then also the funding in order to make human settlements happen. As per usual. usual, I will gloss over very quickly the legislative prescripts that govern what we do and how we go about doing it. A very quick snapshot around how that 15.7 billion is divided between the nine provinces, and then begin to look at the priorities that, as a department, we have set for ourselves for this financial year, both in terms of the now very familiar outcomes-based approach, as well as very specific priorities that we have determined for ourselves as a department. Of course, as government or as a department, we are governed by very specific pieces of legislation and policy, and we spend our money in terms of that legislation and legislation only. You would know that the Division of Revenue Bill was only very recently approved. I'm happy to report that all of the provincial plans have now been approved, and the first tranche, the first tranches of the grant have been paid to or made to all of the provinces. As can be seen from the slide, the bulk of the allocation is, or a quarter of the HSDG is being transferred to the province of Gauteng, followed by KZN, the Eastern Cape, and then the other provinces. Committee members, I think at this point it may be useful just to inform that this year represents the first time or the first opportunity that as a department and as provinces we've implemented a new business planning format and the business planning process. I'm not going to get into the reasons and the rationale for that. Safe to say that the credibility of these plans have always been uppermost in our minds, and just their usefulness. And so for the past 12 months we've worked very closely with both the provincial departments and with National Treasury in developing and crafting a new business plan framework, as well as a business plan template for the provinces to use. Happy to report that by and large it has been well received by both the users, i.e. the provinces, as well as those who derive benefit within our national department and with National Treasury. Just some improvements, significant improvements, which I think would be of benefit to yourselves as provincial representatives, where previously the request has always been made for around detail of projects and specifically project lists. Well, at this time, we're able to provide not only the list of projects, but how much each project has been allocated by either a municipality and a province. So that information is readily available, and we'll be happy to provide that to you. This slide is really drawn from our E&E, and I'd like to believe at this point really just a throwback to our previous mandate around being a Department of Housing and providing shelter. As a Department of Human Settlements, our allocation is no longer divided by, or our targets are no longer divided by, the allocation divided by the subsidy. The presentation will show that a fair amount of our money is moved into aspects and items way beyond simply shelter provision. Outcome 8. I'm not going to, it's been with us for the better part of 2 years, so I'm not going to talk about outcome 8 or outcomes-based strategy. Safe to say that for our department, we have been the primary driver of outcome 8, sustainable human settlements, and within that outcome, there are specific outputs that we need to account for. In the case of slum upgrading, it's 400,000 units from 2010 to 2014. For this financial year, we plan to spend just over 4.5 billion on in-situ slum upgrading. Right? That represents just under 25 or 29% of the human settlement development grant. And again, for your perusal and in the interest of brevity, I'm not going to unpack every single one of them there, but for your perusal, you can see how the various provinces have allocated or have prioritized informal settlement upgrading in their respective provinces. I should at this point, and I will reiterate the point further on in the presentation, but this specific slide talks to in-situ upgrading. Right? So in-situ being people are residing in an informal settlement, and within that informal settlement, their living environment is improved. There are, of course, other programs that also respond to the need for slum upgrading, but that is done off-site. So it needs to be stressed here that this slide simply represents in-situ upgrading. Off-site upgrading, you will see, we refer to them as other programs, and they in some way also deal with the aspect of slum upgrading. Very similarly, the numbers are reflected just very differently here. In total, if you added those sites and units for the coming financial year, or for this financial year, we're looking at a total of just under 100,000, 98,000 sites and units that are going to be upgraded for this financial year. Of course, you can see, and it comes as no coincidence, the bulk of that 98,000 of the contribution being made in the bigger provinces. I think it is significant to note that there's an interesting coincidence when we talk about the Gauteng metros, the Itekwini, the Cape Towns, the Buffalo cities. They're happening in those very areas. So you see 16,000, 17,000, 14,000, and 10,000 respectively. Those are the provinces that represent the most the significant metros across the country. The other important outcome for us is in respect of affordable rental. Just under 10% of the HSDG is going to be used for affordable rental for this financial year. You may recall in the CFO's presentation, she did talk about allocations to not only to the various grants, but also the various institutions. This number here of 4,100 sites and 7,000 units represents only the human settlement development grant. What it excludes is the transfer that is made to the institutions involved with rental, and I here refer specifically to the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, the SHRA. So in order to get a better picture around affordable rental, one would want to add those numbers as well. But this specifically relates to the 10% that is to be used from the HSDG. Again, the numbers which are shown slightly, or represented slightly differently, this year, some 1.5 billion rand will be spent on affordable rental, the bulk of which is going to be spent in Gauteng and in the Eastern Cape and in KZN. Now, a further important output in respect of outcome 8 is affordable finance. Around 61 million is anticipated to be spent here, And if one adds that to other programs, for example, our credit link program, then you will see that around 215 million is to be set aside for affordable finance. I stand corrected, but I do believe that the committee has already been, or may already have been, briefed in respect of the FLISP and the guarantee, mortgage guarantee. So I'm not going to elaborate on that specifically. It would be interesting to see the uptake. I think quite understandably there has been some caution expressed by the department, given our current economic climate. Then, an ultimate slide in respect of outcome, right? The question of land. Now, specifically, the output there talks about the transfer and the use of state land, but I think it would be we put this in nonetheless to reflect the commitment that has been made in respect of land acquisition. And this land, or the money here, would by and large be used for private land acquisitions and in certain instances parastatal land as well. So just over 3% of the HSDG is to be used for land acquisition. Members, I've included the slide for your perusal. It's just a wad of information that I'm not going to go through here, but I put it up here to provide you with an indication around the commitment that provinces are making in respect of outcome. You will recall again in the CFO's introductory comments, she did allude to ring-fence commitments and minimum allocations that provinces needed to have made in respect of outcome aid. But if I could just by way of example just explain the slide to you. If one takes, for example, informal settlement upgrading in the Eastern Cape, if you look at the second row which says national allocation, there's $137.5 million. Well, that is the prescribed minimum which the Eastern Cape is meant to commit to informal settlement upgrading. The number immediately above that, which is $816.8 million, is the number which the Eastern Cape has in fact indicated they are going to spend in respect of informal settlement upgrading. All right. So, and I'm just going to cite that just by as one example for you to understand how to read this specific slide. Very, very happy to report in most, if not all cases, the provinces have exceeded those numbers, the minimum ring fence numbers, and really begins to show in some way the commitment that is now being made to addressing or to honoring those commitments in respect of our committee. We've got a few slides now which talks to some of the priorities that as a national department we've identified and now needs to be given traction by way of the provincial allocations that have been talked to. The first is the rectification program. For this financial year, just under 1 billion rand has been committed to the rectification program. As can be seen, it is not evenly spread across provinces, and of course, we're working within a very constrained and a limited and a holding fiscal environment. So, decisions and some very hard decisions need to be taken or had to be taken around redressing or remedial action and continuing and giving traction to the human settlement delivery program. So you will see, therefore, that when we talk about 6%, it is not spread evenly across provinces, and you will see there that the provinces who have mainly contributed or who plan to make significant inroads happen to be those provinces who have coincidentally been the pilot provinces or the test, the guinea pigs around determining the extent of rectification, i.e. the Eastern Cape and KZN. So those are the ones who have I don't want to say have the best handle on this, but those were the ones who, with the work of the NHBRC, had identified exactly what the nature of the problem is, and therefore, by implication, have more than coincidental, have therefore made very specific commitments in respect of the rectification program. Rural housing remains a priority for us, and as can be seen, we'll be spending just over 14% of the HSDG on rural housing. What I think is very significant here is, where historically, certain provinces have openly declared we are rural provinces. Their strategic plans say they are rural. Their annual performance plans say they are rural. Well, their business plans for 2012 are also saying the same thing. So it comes therefore as no coincidence that provinces such as Limpopo, KZN, the Eastern Cape have spent or have dedicated significant percentages of their allocations to the rural program. The CFO earlier talked about priority projects. Just to, in anticipation of likely questions to be asked around, explain this table to me. Let me explain it to you. The third column over there says national priority target, and if you go to the bottom of that column, you'll see there 943.5 million. All right. That 943 million is an indicative amount which appears in the grant framework for the Human Settlements Development Grant as attached to the Division of Revenue Act. You'll recall the CFO has said that is our commitment. Those numbers were indicative numbers. All right? And those were finalized at the end of February. At the very same time as the provinces were busy finalizing their business plans. You'll recall at the start of my presentation, we really, really attempted to place emphasis on the credibility and the implementability of business plans. So the following column, which is entitled Provincial Plan, if you look at that number over there, you'll see it says 581 million. Now, those are drawn from the business plans. It shows and essentially expresses what the provinces believe they realistically can spend for this financial year. It does, indeed, yes, talk of a variance of around 400, just under 400, and does begin to show that we in fact do need to put resources into making these priorities happen. The next priority for us has really in the latter part of the previous financial year has gained increasing emphasis. For this financial year, we are going to be spending around 371 million on disaster relief. Now, it needs to be borne in mind that towards the end of the previous financial year, there was a specific dispensation grant which was transferred, I think it was from cooperative governance, to the tune of 180 million. That money has been rolled over into this financial year. So if you add the 180 to the 370 million year, effectively for disaster relief and for emergency housing, we are talking of around 550 million that will be spent for this financial year on disaster relief. I'm guided by yourselves on the following four so slides, and perhaps let me suggest the following again in the interest of brevity. What the following slides, and this probably will be of interest to yourselves as provincial representatives, give you an indication of how the respective provinces have decided to cut their respective pines. So I'm again, I happen to like the Eastern Cape, so without being prejudicial towards any of the others. It is purely coincidental. Just by way of example and for your own reading, you can see then that the Eastern Cape is going to be using just under 36% of its allocation for slum upgrading, around 2.5% for rental, 18% will be used for rectification, 14% for the rural, and you'll recall I said earlier on in my presentation, there's a thing called other. In the case of the Eastern Cape, that's 14%. Now, you see in the Northern Cape, it's a very big percentage. Okay, let me very quickly talk about what this other is. You'll recall when I had the slum upgrading slide, I said that there are other off-site slum upgrading projects, and then also there's the other mainstay of our delivery program, being the IRDP, the integrated residential development program. You could call it greenfields if you like, or new development. It remains a significant contributor to our delivery program. And so within various provinces, you will find that other can be broken down into a range of other ones. In the case of Gauteng, you will find that a significant percentage of that other goes into hostel redevelopment. They have a very specific program which deals with backyard rental, which does not appear necessarily here. So when we talk about other, understand that this is not fact that has been built into their plans. These are programs which are still very significant in their delivery strategies, but are not necessarily reflected as individual specific programs. I think the other important point that needs to be made here, and I think a similar illustration is made here, you will find that where the province is characterized by outward migration, or where migratory patterns are largely stable, the aspect of slum upgrading is a less prevalent one. So therefore you will find that provinces such as the Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, and I was going to go out on a limb, the Northwest, but I'm happy to see that it is in fact provinces like the Northwest. You will see that the other cut of the pie is a significant one, which then begins to reflect that these are new projects. They are by and large green fields, and the phenomenon of slum upgrading in situ is a lesser one. So I leave that the rest of these specific slides for your own perusal. I think in the case of Gauteng, this is probably the one exception to what I've said. In the case of Gauteng, I've already alluded to the fact that there are some significant individual programs that are quite specific to this province, and therefore you find that a fair percentage of that other is, or 51% in this case, is given to other programs. I said I was going to allude to the alignment of HSDG and USDG. Without getting into too much detail about the USDG, you may know that the Urban Settlements Development Grant, when we saw the demise of the Big Cities Grant, previously administered by cooperative governance, then also saw the initiation of the Urban Settlements Development Grant. For this financial year, just over 7.3 billion of the USDG is going to be split between the 8 metros across the country. The following column is an important one, particularly those for those of the committee members who are keen on seeing how much of the HSDG, the Human Settlement Development Grant, is to be used within the 8 metros. And as can be seen from the slide there, just under 5 billion is to be used by the provinces within those 8 metropolitan municipalities. Now, it does not appear on in the slide, but just some very quick calculations will show that 32% of the HSDG is to be used between those 8 metros. Another, I think, significant figure which we'd like to share with you is if you added the total USDG, and which is 7.3 billion, and you added the HSDG, which is the total that is, which is 15.7 billion, you're looking at just over 23 billion, all right, for this financial year. Of that 23 billion rand, around 54% of human settlement grants are going to be spent this financial year between those metros. We believe that to be a significant figure, and it really begins to talk to and respond to how, as a department, we are beginning to talk to the aspect of urbanization, and specifically the urbanization of poverty. You will know, I'm sure that you're familiar with the work of the National Planning Commission. Just to pull out some of the numbers that specifically Minister Manuel often talks about, is the growth of our major urban centers. Within the plan, it talks of growth by 2030. 70% of South Africans will be urbanized. Now, in real terms, that begins to suggest that by 2030, those metros listed over there will have needed to absorb around 11 million people. And we believe that these numbers that we are putting up here begins to address and answer that call to deal with the aspect of urbanization, and really beginning to assist metros to manage more than just respond to growth within their various areas. Chairperson, I'm coming into land. I'm not going to get into, this really is a summary slide of how the department is going to be using that 15.7 billion rand. 42% of our allocation will be used for outcome-based priorities. A further 27% will be used for other national priorities such as rectification, affordable finance, rural disaster relief, as well as the priority projects. And then around 31% will be used for the mainstay of our other key programs such as the IRDP, backyard rental, etc., etc. DG?
Chairperson, thank you very much. For me, this was the key thrust for our presentation today to your committee. That's why I won't stop saying I'm quite grateful that you invited us at the best opportune time before the budget vote is dealt with tomorrow by our Honorable Minister, Mr. Kwale. It doesn't end here, Chairperson. One very fundamental and important layer is still missing. This is where I begin to wear both my professional hat and activist hat. Because all said and done, with all the budget we have, the implementation becomes the most important aspect of what we are doing for human settlement delivery. And Chair, I would like to circulate, because I have since, as the accounting officer, in terms of DORA, signed off the business plan for all provinces, where exactly will be happening, by when, where, and how, by who, which for me becomes the crux of all the budget that we have at our disposal. And it brings that element, Chair, that we always talk about, that at times it's not the issue of not having money that we stress about in our government, but is the implementation component that we continuously deal with. I would like, therefore, Chair, to submit to all members, I have just requested my colleague, and forward to every member, for your own effective oversight, have a business plan for each and every province in terms of what they will be doing where to implement this budget, which will then make your oversight even more effective. And Chair, I'm saying this because there is a vested interest for the national department to make sure that this budget gets implemented through those business plans. When Minister signs his agreement with the President and also with myself, it is dependent upon the implementation of this budget. The targets that we set on outcome 8 are dependent upon the implementation of this budget by the provincial departments of human settlement. Failure to that brings service delivery to a halt. This is where I'm expecting this committee to be of great assistance in its effective oversight role in ensuring that the plans I'm referring to, which should be circulated to all of you, preferably keep them in your systems, keep them in your computers, in your galaxies, in your tablets, in your offices with your administrators. Each time you want to have an access to what is happening in your province, you go to this plane, you check it, and you do whatever you want to do with it. For me, that is the crux. After all said and done, tomorrow, after all the niceties and nice suits and ties, at the end of the day, if the element of implementation lags, will still be compared to square one. Chair, I'm expecting the PMU under Mr. Ngozi, which we spoke about at length to this committee, to play a very, very important role in ensuring that this implementation happens. This should be a year that we should be seen to be doing things far differently at human settlements and not go through the same way of having big budgets, good budgets, but implementation suffer. And this unit has that task to perform in this financial year. That concludes our presentation, Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Thank you, DG, as well as our department for the presentation. But nevertheless, I'd like to give this opportunity to the members to start maybe to seek for clarity or else and also comments in terms of your presentation. As I alluded before, that the presentation of today is is about to empower us in terms of our debate, coming to be speaking. And some people are not aware that there is nothing without us, as there is nothing without you, both in the two houses. You can achieve a goal in the National Assembly, but it must also come to us. And then that's where everything we can achieve, maybe a lot of goals together. Nevertheless, members, this is the opportunity for you to start, maybe to start to ask questions. I think I will be the last one. Let me start the other side and come this way. Oh, but let me give in course. Okay. Because I wanted to kill me. Yeah, I got that. Please, I will start that way and come this side.
Oh, sure. I was saying thank you for allowing me to start, particularly today, that there are two things that are very key. The first one being that Sinom Duan amongst us. And two, let me be honest, I've never done where I had drafted questions, I see myself crossing them like this. I'm very honest. You can see. Because it's answered before I had even, ventured into which means the presentation is good. I'm sure you understand us by now that when we say something is good, we mean it, and when we are not happy, we also say it. This one is excellent, and it means you also have come to understand what this committee wants. You know how to present in the NCOP and how to present in the NA. That is very good. But just two things. One is on your relationship with municipalities. Because we are these days talking right development, generally speaking. And when I'm talking your relations with municipalities, how do you ultimately link and enhance their MIGs? When one asks this question of your municipal infrastructure grant, one would also in mind have a capacity enhancement in mind, that you cannot just throw money without capacity, I understand. Is there no plan? I know the first one would be capacity enhancement, of course, then followed by pumping in of such funds, as you see that they are beginning to be ready.
This other one, DJ,
I'm not asking because I understand that the province of Eastern Cape has started putting time frames for itself. But one would like to know, at the national level, when do we see the department dealing and putting aside this ratification program? Because I personally feel that, this shouldn't be a permanent program, particularly now that you are currently embarking in this program that you didn't invite us to join, where you were encouraging your service providers to begin to do good and quality work. I understand you were here in the Western Cape yesterday. You have been in the Eastern Cape. You were not invited, but it's good work that you are doing. It's just those two, Jay.
Mama Temba?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Mama, I didn't say Mama Temba. I said Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to pray for you, Kuhu.
Oh,
it's okay. No, I'm saying you're not praying, because we will go down there and we see Abuya, see Ashaya, but thank you for the presentation. likewise, like Honorable Mlenzana has mentioned, actually you have outlined your input as our request. And I would like to say, but the question that was asked by Honorable Mlenzana on your relationship with municipalities. The question is on the municipalities that are not accredited. Maybe if you can tell us, when are you intending working towards capacitating those municipalities, and also maybe to be clear on what is happening in the deep rural areas. That's where our main concern is. I'm not sure whether you saw on SABC, was it SABC 2 or 1, where in Pertegop, Honorable Chair, Pertegop. You know, I'm not sure how does the department, you know, go towards and even your provincial counterparts when you are sitting in Minnet. Because these deep rural areas, it's like they are not being taken care of. You know, when I saw that thing, old lady in Pertegop, I was even saying to myself, am I really a member of Mpumalanga province? Because, you know, I think it's for all of us to be aware of such things. So if the department can, before we even debate, tell us, how do you go down to those rural areas? Pertegop, you saw in KwaZulu-Natal, I don't know whether by 2030 will be staying in houses with what is happening now, with what Emangweni. We're talking a nice good budget. But Emangweni, have you ever, as the department, taken a roadshow around all these provinces to make sure that when you sit down, when you talk to us about this good budget, you have seen together with your counterparts? So that when we do oversight, we tell us that comrade, we're in a bad.
I'm not a comrade.
Yeah, you know, seriously speaking, you know, when you talk of rural, this budget must really focus on the rural. Rural, so that when we are standing there on the podium to support this budget, we must support the budget. Now look, Pele, Kobusisi Zile, the DG, and the CFO saying we have gone out. Now even the minister's speech actually must really focus on those areas. Thank you.
Comrade Grunewald. Yes, when we're running marathon, we call each other comrade. But so, come on.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, I also want to thank you for that presentation. I also think it's a very good presentation. But I think we must be also realistic about a lot of things. If I criticize you now and ask you some questions, it's not to bring you down or something like that. It is, let's help each other. I think that is the whole method of purpose of this meeting, is to help each other and see that we can better the lives of people outside. That is what I'm going. I'm going to ask you questions, and I want you also to be honest with us. Give us the real answers. Maybe you haven't got the answers now, I already prepared my speech for next week, the 15th. There's a lot of things I'm going to tackle you in, and I'm telling you now. I'm also going to ask questions now, so that is politics, and we must handle it in that way. So I'm not angry with you, but I want answers because the people outside ask us questions, and we must give them answers at the end of the day. If you haven't got the answers, you must give us the answers. So I want the answers from you now. It is always nice, and it sounds good when we are sitting here and we listen to you, and we listen to the plans, and we listen to the outcome 8, because outcome 8 is at the back of my head when I'm talking to you. There's a lot of promises made during the past 2010 up to now by the minister last year. He make a lot of promises and say we will speed up a lot of things. After 6 months, after his speech in the house, in the NCLP's house, we have the Parliament to the People in KwaZulu-Natal, Mutu. We visit the place there, phase 1 and 2 in Mutu. 500 houses are demolished. There's nothing, not even the foundations, and nothing happened there. The people are suffering there. What happened? And that is exactly what my colleague said now about rural areas. We feel a lot about rural areas, and me too. I'm coming from a rural, basically a rural province, an office province, and the people are suffering in many, many places. I've got a list of names here where things are not going in the right way. We also visit with the Parliament to the People, Burgers Fort, in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga. There in the mining areas, next to the mountains and things, the people's houses falling apart, it is cracking. I do not know what is the involvement from the department side to that people there. The impression we've got there is they depend on the mines to build their houses. And then again, what is the relationship between a local government, and the mines? There's a lot of inner fighting in that area because of housing. We must support that people. Really, we can't just let them. What are your negotiations with the mines and all that people there? Are there any things on the way to help the people? We've got the impression from our side that nothing happened from the department side to help these people. In Mutu, it's basically the same. The houses is demolished, it's falling apart. There's one or two houses standing there in that area, and it is full of cracks. It is dangerous for human beings to stay in such houses. So what are you going to do about it? It is millions of rands is down into the drain. It is a bad contracting work is taking place. Contractors built the houses halfway and then they just disappear with the money. What are our measures to see that we can have some hold on these contractors? Because it's all over. In my province, Rustenburg, 500 houses as well. Freiburg, 400 of and something houses also. Half built contracts is gone. Then, specifically in Freiburg, and I'll mention it again in my speech as well. so that you can have it in writing there. The contractor started building the houses, he got 28 million, he's gone. Now they start a new site in Freiburg. They are putting in infrastructure from the legislature side. But the previous contract is just left alone. And it is an extension 24 and 5, if I'm right now. And now they start with a new extension 28 and put new infrastructure. And the other one is just living there. And people are staying in half boat houses. They move in and out. There's no control at all. We can't carry on. That is a waste of money. That is fraud is taking place there and a lot of things. In Klaagsdorp, there's a lot of the suburbs there. Things is not right. So, and then, Chairperson, it is shocking to listen to you if you said in 2030 that 70% of the population of South Africa will be urban. I'm shocking because we can't afford it. We must have people in our rural areas. That is the people who see that there are food in the houses and all that kind of thing. And if we are not building houses in that area, the people will move to the urban areas. So that is, I think, with the economic in South Africa, we must work hand in hand to establish factories and all that kind of thing in our urban areas so that we can build houses there for our people. That is a main worry for me at this stage. And then the allocation of the money on page 46, the financial statement, I saw there that the Western Cape, the allocation of money is very lower than the other provinces, especially in our Western Cape. Cape Town and Pretoria, Johannesburg, and that areas, and Buffalo Park. So it is lower than that. Why? What is the reason? Is it because of less people staying in this area, or what is the reason? I just want to know why is that. Okay, and then around about Elcom 8, the chairperson, there's a lot of things there, and I touched on it already, the upgrading of 400,000 informal settlement households. At the estimated cost of 19.2 billion, delivering of 80,000 rental houses. And when I'm talking about rental houses, and do we know exactly what is the assets of the department regarding houses? Because people are moving in and out, and it is friends is paying in, and they are not paying rent, and that is all the complaints we've got from the ground. And I want to know, do you exactly know per province how many assets, how many buildings belongs to the department and for what we have for rental to people. Just to renovate, that is the figure I've got, just to renovate houses in the Northwest province will cost the province at least 77 million rand. So that is already built houses. Now we must go back because of bad workmanship, cracks and everything. We must go and repair it. 77 million. How many houses can be built with 77? If the workmanship and was good in a good condition. The slam upgrading. I want also to know here where and why. Okay, that you're talking about shacks, mate. That is the slam. And okay. And then hand in hand with that is land, the availability of land. If we are looking into South Africa and the way people are staying around our big cities and things, the most of the people are far from the factories and so they have quite a distance to travel, and that is cost. What are we doing regarding that to get people closer to the workplaces? Is there something we are busy with to get people closer to the working place so that we can bring down traveling, housing, and all that thing cost at the end of the day? And then my last question, Chair, and that is I'm staying very close to Kutsong in Gauteng. That is a project, it it is long overdue regarding to me, because when I was in the legislature at that stage, it was still in the Northwest province. So I know exactly what is going on there. And that was supposed to be one of the biggest human shifts in the history of South Africa. They were talking about 16,000 houses being built at the new place regarding the Dolomite in that area. So how far are these projects now at this stage, and what is the cost already, the input into the project? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Makeba, and your presentation and your team. Our colleagues put a lot of questions and concerns. Also, my concern is also my concern is 2008 and 2009 is Ward 15 and Ward 9 at Kwanongoma. The houses is approved there. The only check on you, Makeba, is the National Department. We have any monitoring team to monitor all of this project thing and approval. The also, the issue of land in the rural area, especially in Western Natal. We have a plan for MEET, Department of Land in Gonyama Trust, solve issues about the land in the Amakosu area. That's my concern, because our people never received any housing because of the issue of land.
Thank you. As it is to us, maybe it is my culture to speak after Inkosi has spoken. Sometimes it's difficult. Because even if there's instruction in the Constitution that Inkosi is always Inkosi, nothing else. Right, nevertheless, I'll also join my colleague's report to raise the sentiment that DG, you know, sometimes we are seen as people who are maybe, I don't know, harsh sometimes. But I think this presentation is correct, it's accurate to the point. That's what it means, it's simple. Because you do have a staff, you do have supporting staff, and the people are supposed to take their responsibilities. In short, what we normally used to say, take the bull with its horn. Maybe you must, normally we said, you must be encouraged to make sure that you make them work. That's what we were expecting. But nevertheless, let me go to the question which I've prepared. You see, DG, I won't be like my colleague, Ubabo Kroneva, I will differ with the issue of Western Cape. I'll start with Western Cape. You see?
Because
you are
also politicking.
Yeah. No, myself, I'm not politicking. I mean, practically, things which were given in the presentation. You see, my first input will start about the formula which is used by the Treasurer in terms of allocation. No, it's too much for Western Cape. Too big. And I don't think that what is worrying me, I'll show you as I go to ask some of the questions. You see, to me, sometimes you are making it double for the Western Cape side. At one slide where you spoke about the contribution, about the budget which is allocated to Western Cape, let me remember myself, what is it? Slide 14, let's check slide 9 from your presentation, last one. To me, it's what, no, not slide 9, I've got a question for slide 9 as well. There was a slide where you were showing the pinions with the money which is contributed to the metros. It's too much. Why is so much? Because if you drive around, if you fly on air here in Western Cape, slums are more are you allocating this money? What is this money doing in Western Cape? So huge money. And that, to me, is very huge. Very huge. Yes. 26. No, it's not 26. Where you talk about the rural, there was a specific one. Let me check. I wanted to make sure about this. To me, it's huge money which is allocated to the metro.
Yeah.
And also, there is while at the same time, there is also money which is yes, this one. On page what? 46. Yes, the page 46. Yes. You know, again, when you go to priorities projects, listen to this one. National again, on page 9. Because I assume, besides the allocation which you're providing in Western Cape, again, your focus is Western Cape again. It means that it's other money. On page 9, on slide, I think slide 18. Check on slide 18 on page 9. You see? Slide 18 on page 9. Where your town, you put some money in the national target to dromedaries. You know? It's worrying me. Because all your focus is Western Cape. While on top, on slide number 17, in Western Cape, in terms of the rural, they don't have any rural living. Why all this, you know, this to me is very skewed. This might say, you check. You see, on rural, they don't have anything. That is slide 17. And go to slide 18, we'll check on slide 18. Western Cape. Where's slide 18? Yes. You check the other side. It means that besides the huge money on page 46, there is money also from national targeting Western Cape. Why so huge money? While M2 Gateway is still not yet complete. Well, while you go to some of these areas, there are a lot of shacks and slums and everything. People here in Western Cape are staying under plastic bags. Our shacks, I don't say that there is a better shack or not, but go to practically here, in the shacks here. I don't know for how long have you been there as the department to go and monitor what is happening there. Umama Tem was also alluding that we find the people when they go out, it's very pathetic. Remember, to remind you once more, do you still remember when they started the project of demolition the houses for N2 Gateway? Do you still remember the rubble of plastic bags which were from the houses? That's what does it tell you? That's my worry in Western Cape. Why we give them so much money and you act on top of the money which they is allocated to them? I'm also one of the people who's worried about the issue of allocation. Because this is skew. Mdwana, we went to Mzinga. We went to Enud, where we discovered that people are living in one room. They told us it was the first project. I don't know by who. And with that first project, in that one room, the issue of sanitation is bad. There is this new term which is used, they call it a honey sucker. Their system is non-functional. They even sometimes have it difficult to have a honey sucker because of the problem of sanitation. I thought that if your budget also is going to cover the sanitation because there are a lot of outcries in terms of the sanitation. You never mention anything about sanitation. In terms of your budget, this which was presented to us, nothing, zero about sanitation. While there are a lot of discrepancies, you go to Estuadwini, I like that area because I saw it.
Yeah.
You go to Mpangeni in Mpumalanga. Is worse than Bagini if you've been in Mpumalanga. You go to Emangus. I can mention, Lord, you go to Northwest in some of these areas in terms of sanitation. I've not done too much, it will cover that one. Nothing, didn't touch anything about sanitation. And then you see that's what some of the things which are worrying me. And another thing which I've thought that you will cover on page, only a summary of outcome 8. I don't know, maybe you covered them somewhere about the issue of the, you see, there was a marvelous project which was started by the department, which was led by the principal, which is the minister himself, about the issue of identifying houses to be demolished. RTP houses are supposed to be demolished, which have cracks, whatever. And here, after that, in terms of your budget, you're going to cover that. Because to date, I think we must send information that how many houses have been identified by each province which are due to be demolished, and how many houses are already been erected, and how many houses which are about to be erected, because that thing itself, it forms part and parcel of your budget. That's what I thought that you will also cover. And what is worrying me, you see, this is another thing which I think is also a challenge. You see, is that in terms of human segment, here in Western Cape, not Western Cape only, all the metros, and then the entire South Africa, you know, we can talk about the new budget of the national budget of every department. They've spoke about tributes. We must be able to account for those tributes. I'll re-emphasize the question which was raised by Mdwana, but Mdwana raised it in a form of speaking about around the issue of land issue and the project of one or more. It's about the monitoring system of the money which you're allocating, whether are we having capacity to monitor that particular billions which you're talking about. We don't talk about millions. We talk about billions. Do you have a capacity of monitoring that money? How? Besides the issue of PMUs. I mean, because this money is not here's the sequences. I'm subject for correction. The Treasurer General, you are the ones who apply from the Treasurer General, and then he provides you. You account to him. At the same time, you take the money and allocate to the province. You must have a system to monitor those particular money. I was going to bring another shadow thing, but unfortunately, informally, my principal told me, because the issue of the land, because to avoid the incident which happened somewhere, I won't talk about it now, because I think it's sub judice care, whereby people are inflating land for the Department of Human Services. Why the Department of Human Services is becoming a victim by our own people on the behalf of millions of people who are landless? That shows the signs that there is a lack of monitoring, proper monitoring, even besides the issue of the issuing of the budget, but even the issue of the land. I mean, how many lands do you have? How many hectares do you have as human settlement? You must be specific that as human settlement, we are having this money and this money. The last one, you see, I'm a little scared somehow in some of the provinces. I think the issue of informal settlement is mushrooming again. That means, therefore, we must raise it in our somewhere, because it calls us and calls it the co-opter to come together, maybe discuss about this matter, how to get care about it. So I will put it there for temporary, because maybe if given time, we'll come up with other questions. Thank you. I will give it to you, DJ.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, for for the comments and also for the questions that have been raised, which are always assisting us and empowering us to sharpen our tools of engagement when it comes to delivery. We will respond to some of the questions. Obviously, some of the comments are for FATCO's purposes, as the member of Revolt has indicated, for us to go and check. But there are areas which we need to respond to as a matter of importance for the committee. I think the CFO will outline the formula for allocation, which again, as I've raised earlier on, it's a concern not only for yourselves but also for the portfolio committee, because we don't determine the allocation ourselves, but the overall budget gets determined and the allocations are done based on the current formula, and we just follow the suit. I think what becomes critical is how then each province would plan its own program in terms of making sure that the priorities dealing with the areas of strategic
in order to take it abroad. Yes, besides page 26, yes, from the presentation earlier on, the budget, which is huge for Western Cape, with equal to 2014 to 2015, 10 billion rand. It's total amount, sorry about that. But on page 46, I'm sorry about that.
No.
Yes, thanks.
From a policy point of view, should there be a need for review of how the formula is working? I think you are the policy makers of this country. We take a lead from your guidance from a policy perspective. And should there be a need to review how the formula is determined, we are more than welcome to accept that. If we have to provide some technical guidance in terms of how that could be done to meet the needs of such allocations, that could be done. But fundamental to that, Chair, is the point that we have made, that at the end of the day, as a national department, we do not directly dictate how the areas of strategic importance for each province should be. We only provide an advisory guidance in terms of the national policy framework, in terms of cabinet decisions, in terms of SONA statements, in terms of budget vote statements. We then advise provinces that this is the guidance that we have at a policy level, at national level. But in terms of accounting, we do not impose on another accounting officer, on another minister. But Chair, you have raised a very important point. How do we then influence our min-makes in such a way that they go through that particular direction based on that? But you don't have, what I'll put it, a legalistic tool that you shall do 1, 2, 3 because of 1, 2, 3. That's the challenge that we're having. And that has also had a negative impact in terms of ensuring that the targets that we set for ourselves and the outcome 8 are therefore effectively implemented, because at times the provinces, they decide, because the money is sitting with them, they decide which areas to focus on. So I'm just raising it as a challenge that we have, which we deal with as an ongoing challenge, but we never lose sight. And you'll see, Chair, that one of the areas that we have raised before with us was focused on rural areas and part of rural development, as part of government focus. And I'm sure you've seen the presentation, there is that element of beginning to make sure that there's a clearly defined budget which is meant for rural development, for human settlement. So at a high level, I think, Chair, we will continue to do so. And as an attention, Chair, we would like to, I know we normally do this all the time because we avail ourselves, we would like to present to you a revised strategy for the implementation of the sanitation within the human settlement. You'll recall that this particular function was transferred to us, but not the entire sanitation program for the country. That still remains with Water Affairs. Even the Act is still there, and the element of sanitation is there. But this function was and certain problems where we have revised sanitation strategy because of the challenges that we have established in our last 2 years. We have developed a new approach of how to go forward dealing with the implementation of sanitation, particularly in rural areas, as members have alluded to some of the experiences which ourselves have had. We do have a budget which has been allocated for this financial year and the next financial year, within which we'd like that budget to be used within the new strategy for this year. We are finalizing the model for implementation of sanitation in rural areas as per the transferred function to human settlements at a meeting of the executive schedule for this Friday. We will be finalizing that model, which we'd like to present to you together with the budget for this financial year and the next financial year. There will be fundamental changes that are associated with that. Our apologies for not reflecting on the numbers, but we'll do that as we present to you the strategy and the financial issues relating to the implementation of the new model. And I'm sure that that will deal with quite a number of some of the issues that have been raised, the challenges of rural areas, in particular in relation to sanitation. We are aware all the issues have raised, Chair, have been raised, even the councillors themselves in areas such as Mutu. Some of them, even the mayors, did speak to me personally raising concerns about the dysfunctionality of some of the systems that have been put there. This is why we have revised the implementation and also look into some of the limitations that the program has imposed on us, which would like Treasury to review again another policy issue, because when the function was transferred, there were certain limitations in terms of implementation, which we think they will need to be relaxed so as to make sure that quality delivery of sanitation in rural areas is not compromised. We will do that, Chair. The issue of monitoring, Chair, I don't want to overemphasize the importance of this element, because at the end of the day, the success of delivery for all the programs and projects we are doing under human settlements will be determined by the effective monitoring of those projects on the ground. And part of a decision we have taken in our turnaround strategy and the establishment of a PMU is to make sure that the PMU is not only functioning effectively at a national level. At MINMEC level, we have taken a decision that all provincial departments of human settlements must establish PMUs as well, which must be linked with the national department. Same applies. With those departments must also be linked with implementation of the projects with municipalities on the ground. Relationship-wise, there are challenges. We are focusing on intergovernmental relations to take an advantage of that in ensuring that municipalities that have already been identified to implement certain projects, in particular those who are also allocated USDG, are playing a meaningful role. And the monitoring of the budget given to them becomes critical, and that must be linked into provinces. So, Mr. Ngozi, together with the PMU that I spoke about earlier on at national level, has a mammoth task together with myself and SODs in ensuring that happens. If we don't get that right, we can't ascertain the capacity to implement, we can't ascertain the progress of the projects on the ground. You'll recall, Chair, when I was presenting the turnaround strategy with my team at some point, I reflected how I would like to see that system working on the ground, how the monitoring of the projects in terms of progress and implementation should work. That's a first-class approach you want to adopt, but I think it's in the best interest of the sector, it's in the interest of service delivery, that we have at our disposal a very effective monitoring system for all the work that we do across the board. And the department, in its new turnaround strategy, is literally investing resources. One of the programs we have raised, Chair, of rectification, houses demolished to be erected, some houses, that project also falls under PMU, Chair. And at MINMEC level, a formal decision has been taken that the national department must coordinate the national rectification program for the whole country. The budget has been set aside, has been alluded to by the CFO, who is just under 1 billion. Specific provinces and specific
areas in the provinces, in different provinces, will be identified and a program of action to deal with ratification will start. Remember, Chair, what I also alluded to at some point, because we don't want this to be an ongoing challenge. Whilst we are dealing with the ratification for what we have at our disposal at the moment, we are also putting in place measures to curb any new project that could have a similar challenge, because which means we're going to remain in a vicious cycle and we'll continue to waste the government money or the taxpayers' money. But embedded to that, Chair, is the fact that we did not only start this program without taking into account the responsible people for such failure. So whilst we're doing this, we have engaged FIU, as you know. There are people and contractors who are responsible for this, who are being chased as we speak. Some of them have been brought to book in different provinces. We have an existing contractual arrangement with FIU. We have identified different provinces do bring to us certain areas where we need to make sure that there is intervention by FIU and where we can recover money. Some money has been recovered. And again, Chair, if you want us to present to you a status report that deals with how this sector, human settlements, has dealt with the corrupt practices in different provinces, insofar as contractors running away with monies or contractors building shoddy houses and so forth, what has been done to date? That could be done as well. There is a comprehensive report we have received from SIU. It's an ongoing exercise, as I've explained briefly to you, Chair, before this meeting, that are also working towards renewing their contract with the department, revisiting their SLA, because there is more work to do. So the point I'm trying to make, Chair, is whilst we're doing all of this good work in terms of the new structure, the new systems, rectification being attended to, if you don't put measures in place to keep this from happening, either by litigating people or making sure that every new project is properly registered with the responsibility entities such as NHBRC and provincial business plans, and we put a monitoring system, we'll find ourselves in a vicious cycle. So we are attending to those in that particular fashion. And again, that includes, Chair, all issues of land, the corrupt practices we have made reference to, all those matters that get brought to us, we refer them to FIU, where at times people inflate prices, and as we have said quite rightly, that human settlement has become a milky cow for anyone who wants to sell land, go to how to do this. And it's unfortunate because we have a responsibility, amongst other things that we have responsibility for, is to buy land for human settlements. So we've got to make sure that there's value for money for every piece of land that gets sold for the purpose of human settlement development. But people always try to manipulate the process because they know that there is money budgeted specifically for land in order to make sure that we settle our people appropriately. And our approach in terms of the new mandate has been enhanced to do that. So opportunistic tendencies do emerge, which we think, again, through our effective monitoring of our human settlement projects, that element will be dealt with, because we must have a fully-fledged inspection section where each time there's value for money, some independent auditors can also check that to make sure that the money which is meant for human settlement to do certain things is not used for corrupt practices. I think, Chair, at high level, I will deal with those issues in that fashion and ask my colleagues to maybe respond to some of the specific issues that relate to the content of the presentation, in particular the issue around accreditation, which I've requested the COO, Chair. I'm sure you've observed that he was resting today. I don't think he has earned his salary for today. Chair, I wouldn't like this meeting to end without him earning his salary as the COO. He's wearing two hats at the moment, the COO and the DDG for strategy and planning. So with all due respect, COO, would you mind to take this opportunity and earn your salary? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, DG. Just on the issue around Member Mlenzana on the issue of relationship with municipalities, As part of the process, as part of our intergovernmental process between the department, particularly around the metros, there's an intensive relationship that we have both with the provinces and the municipalities. And that includes the integration, particularly at the municipal and the provincial level, of all the grants, not only the municipal infrastructure grant, because I think if we want to be a better government, then it's important that we integrate not only the municipal infrastructure grant, but the HSDG, but it's a whole range of other grants. That includes the electricity grant, that includes the transport infrastructure grant. So that takes place there, and it incorporates the issues of the IDP. In respect of capacity enhancement, the department's got a number of initiatives. The one is there's the National Upgrade and Support Program. So intensively, for example, as we sit here now, the department's providing 49 municipalities with support, particularly in relation to informal settlement upgrading. As part of the accreditation process, members will remember that we did an initial 8 capacity assessments. We've done a further 16 municipalities, and that includes a number of them. And as part of that process, we provide the capacity assistance not only to officials but to councillors. So that process takes place through our technical capacity unit. And it focuses on that. In relation to our relationship with the mines, as part of the FLIS, the financial linked subsidy program, for example, in the Northwest, we signed a memorandum of agreement, not an MOU, but an agreement with, for example, MPLAT. In relation to where they, together with us, and in conjunction with the respective municipalities, but more importantly the Northwest Province, to undertake a process of providing housing to the mine workers and as well as other communities. So that's just one project. We've also further, together with the Limpopo Province, entered into an agreement. As part of the other processes in relation to what the president has set up, is as part of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, there's also initiatives around that process. So you know, the Sishen Saldana, the issues of the corridor from the Northern Mineral Belt, which will go through, for example, and just for the two members from Mpumalanga, the one growth point that will be focused on is Ermelo. So, you know, the Ermelo area forms part of that belt, that northern mineral belt, and it goes right to Ermelo to Richards Bay, Mshatuze. So that's where it happens. In relation to, I don't know, I've covered, on the land, Chairperson, through you, I mean, what we can do is that we can give you a comprehensive process. The Housing Development Agency has been tasked with that, and we can give you. There's been substantial progress that has been made, particularly in relation to identification of land, that state and public land. But there is processes underway to have that relationship improved. On the mushroom of informal settlements, we've got a human settlements basic services task team together with cooperative governance. So through the municipalities, ourselves, and cooperative governance and the respective municipalities, there's a plan to look at how do we properly manage urban settlements. And I think the one advantage we have as particularly both from the DG and the ministerial point is that 5 MECs overlap between human settlements and housing and local government and the 5 heads of department. So that creates, you know, particularly, for example, it creates us you know, an opportunity to do the For example, in the northwest, for example, you've got an overlap between human settlements and public safety and liaison. So that creates an opportunity for us to better manage and ensure that, for example, where there's illegal activity taken in relation to mushroom river informal settlement, we're able to manage that. Thanks, Chair. I suppose the CFO has got other points.
Chair, thank you very much. CEO, thank you. I suppose the question of allocation formula, it's not about why do we give Western Cape so much, but on the other hand, the other one would say, why do you give Western Cape so much? And he has actually alluded to the fact that it is predetermined, the allocation formula. Yes, at that point in time, I think it was really necessary for the allocation formula to be approved at the rate that is approved. There are a number of factors that were considered prior to the determination of the allocation formula. But since its implementation, we have, as a Human Settlement Development Department, realized that it is not 100% working for the department across the board. If one looks at Northern Cape, where there's a need, and there's also an influx in that area, and if you look at the allocation, it's not actually, there's no equity generally within that framework. And generally, if you look from Province 1 to Province 9, one would want to see the balance of equity within the allocation. But we are in a process of reviewing the allocation formula with National Treasury in the sense that we've got a number of elements that we've actually thrown on the table as we're actually discussing to see whether the allocation should be based on the factors that were considered before, the issues of population, the issues of densification, the issues of influx control. So now the point here that we're trying to make is, while we're still sitting with this formula, we need to look at how it is actually planned. It could be, it may well be that the amount, the allocation is enough, the allocation is relevant, but whether the planning is actually focusing where it's supposed to be focused. And if one looks at Western Cape and the factors that we sometimes read in newspapers, is the money is actually allocated where it's not supposed to allocate. Where it is really needed, that the goalpost gets to be shifted. So DG has actually indicated that if one looks at the way National Treasury or a national department operate, we are placing an advisory and a directive capacity into provinces. But it's also within our responsibility to direct the funds where they're supposed to be directed and where the destitutes are actually in need of this money. So our planning focus should actually be focused on such a way that the money is actually utilized where it is needed most, rather than that it focused probably on the city of Cape Town, if I may put Cape Town on that element. But I think it is also a matter of concern to us. We are looking at it together with our National Treasury, and I think the reviewed allocation formula, it will be tabled to all the stakeholders, including the select committee, for us to move further in terms of how we allocate the Human Settlement Development Grant moving forward. And I think that will also align it to the Urban Settlement Development Grant, because we're looking at it that it's growing in different cities. But if one looks at the dromedaries, like the chairperson was specifically focusing on slide 46, we have actually since noticed that in the business plan of the province, that's 59 million for this financial year. Unfortunately, COO, that slide is not this. That we realize that it's not actually planned for in their business plan. So I'm looking at it in the sense that if they have not planned for it, it means that they do not want that allocation. So our area is that there are some provinces who may want to utilize that money, and not knowing whether Western Cape has actually taken, because that money is an earmarked fund for that priority project of dromedaries. But if there's no plan for it, it may well be that they do not need that money. So we are looking at reviewing the business plan categorically for the particular priority projects. Now, if I look at the other question of what do we do to the contractors that have actually created the human settlements in terms of the surety and the rectification that we are sitting with, members would also recall that a bold step was taken by the Limpopo province to actually blacklist the contractors that have created the surety workmanship. And that has been put across to all provinces to say, should they actually find those contractors who have created a shoddy workmanship, they need to be convicted and they could just as well tend to lose their trading certificates along the line. But there is a process of us that we're taking. We're actually assessing the work that has been done, and we are sort of striking them out of the role of the database that we have of the contractors that are not actually giving quality, and yet they're actually running away with their lumps, sums of money. Chair, I think from my side, those would be the two. Thank you.
Honourable members, those were the response from the department. I don't know whether to have anything, but I think I was checking time that we are left also with another item, which is the minutes. So do you have any questions? Yes, ma'am. Start with Mama, followed by Babu Lezana. Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. I don't know whether the one on accreditation was responded.
Thank you. Chair, on the issue of accreditation, as indicated, sorry, remember, the department conducted, we conduct compliance assessments to check whether municipalities are ready, because ultimately it's the provincial MECs that accredit, not the minister. So what we have done is that we've done those evaluations, we've submitted them to the respective MECs and HODs, and they're in the process of entering into implementation protocols, and then between the respective MECs and the executive mayors, there will be processes to accredit. Our target for 2014 is to have 27 municipalities accredited at level 2, and to have the 8 metros accredited to level 3. But that's the focus. Thanks. Apologies.
Baba Umlenzane.
Chair, mine is bad cost. Chair, as I was listening to my colleagues asking questions and the manner in which Luigi responded to some, I was writing here Sunday, 6 May. Was a coincidence. That day coincided with both my birthday and also my flying to Cape Town to be in Parliament on the 7th of May, wherein we were to be sworn in as the members of the NCOP. That was 3 years back. So we were completing 3 years in essence by yesterday in Parliament. But there is something we are 3 years now. Those of us who are new. But there is this question of either understanding or accepting these constitutional imperatives of the powers and functions between national and provinces. Understandably so, DG, because when you are talking of ourselves, we are representing the interests of provinces at a national scale. So, this background, Chair, seeks to ask both from you and the DG, if you cannot arrange, maybe immediately after the votes have been passed, that we have a session with provincial leadership so that we assist the DG in that particular meeting, wherein we will make his provincial leaders, both at a political and at an administrative level, to understand what is it that we want at this level as the NCOP.
Thank you,
Babu Mdenzana.
Mama.
Thank you, Chair. Only one question from my side, and that is also regarding the relationship between people and minor specific. How are you dealing with the provincial leaders regarding
You see, there's something very nice about this question. Because next to him, yeah, and they are asking also the prince. It's a very progressive and relevant question. And I'm glad to, on the visit, I would have preferred to respond on this one. When I was outside, he also grabbed me on the same matter. The issue of traditional leadership, it's a very critical issue at the moment. And it's mainly with the local government, provincial sphere. And as CEO was saying, that we have a situation where collaboration between the Department of Human Settlements and local government, it's not luxury, it's compulsory. It's interdependent because the issue of Ingonyama Trust land has been raised, for example, and that rests with traditional leadership in terms of how to unlock that for the purpose of human settlement. And also the role of traditional leadership in the context of human settlement development becomes critical. It's quite a very important aspect of our agenda. That is why at the national level we forced that there must be a joint MINMEC that takes place between the Department of COGTA and ourselves, where issues of common interest are dealt with and policy decisions are taken, is to unlock all the challenges that are actually experienced as we implement our programs. But they've got a very important role to play because they're a statutory body, and in fact, for human settlements, they've got a much more bigger role, but also for the provision of basic services for rural development, they have a very important role. But most importantly, they own the land, and you can't take away that. And a lot of negotiations get underway at times, it becomes a challenge. But we have given that responsibility, Chair and members, to join MINMEC of COGTA to make sure we deal with. But we also liaise very effectively with the provincial department of local government, especially in areas where this matter is a key issue, like KZN and Eastern Cape and other provinces, to make sure that we find mechanisms of managing it. So it is a very important aspect of our service delivery. Failure to deal with it would have a negative impact on our rural development strategy, not only for human settlements, but for the country at large.
Mine now looks suggest that I'll give you the part goals. You see, first of all, I'd like to comment and also to emphasize our happiness. You see, number one, I think you are so glad because you send a team. Sometimes some people, they don't send a team. There is a reason why we need a head, like a director, to be present during this period. Not even this period only. It's because of the interpretation of our line function. Because some people, they've got their own interpretations when we start to do our oversight. But with this one, you are responding from the whole team, which you have today. You are so happy. Very, very happy, and also to address some of the things which we are facing. Because to us is worse, besides being a member of parliament, we are also deployed as constituency members. That's where we meet some of these challenges. And when we raise things, we mean it. We raise practically things because we're from there. And which is bad cause, you see. I thought that maybe we will be having time, but not now. Give it to us, but because in terms of the DORA, the implementation of DORA, because there is huge money which is being given to the provinces and municipalities, and by the divisional of revenue. We thought that if
there was time for to take us on board about the explanation and how is it working, how are you doing to make sure that you are in special for conditional grants, because that is another challenge in terms of the provinces and the areas whereby huge money are being dedicated in a particular area, but it's very difficult to account for it. As your part goes, I thought that maybe you can note it. And we will still also emphasize, you see, to us in future, help us, those constructors which have been identified to be noted, expose them. Expose them. Don't keep quiet. I'll put an example. I don't take that to say that you go. Even I was once deployed in the department, say, in Mpumalanga, whereby a lot of contractors, including big names, from small to big names, who built, who didn't finish some of the project. They built some project and left the project alone. And then also, which I would like to appeal from you as part of the podcast, please, if there is a project somewhere, go there and make sure that is, for an example, Mama Temba, if you recall what happened in one of the areas during our crucial week, they were building a wall, which is not strange. There are, I'm not a constructor, I'm not a bricklayer, but even I can see that there is a problem with two things. There is a lane which is called, what is it, fish lane. That one which made the wall to be straight, and also that one in Afghans, they call it waterbars. They don't use them. It means that in some of those projects, where part of the projects which have been identified as the articles demolished, and also the reconstruction is bad because there's no proper monitoring in one of the municipalities in Mpumalanga. So if we, you can strengthen those levels, I think we won't maybe waste some of this money. But at the same time, I'd like to thank you, hoping that next meeting it will be more issue of women will be more visible. Thank you very much, DJ.
Thank you very much, Chair. As promised, we will submit all three different levels of this budget process, the national overview, the provincial overview, and the business plans at each and every province. I will suggest that we send this to your emails, the card of the South African Communist Party.
Maybe
if
you come next time,
there's
only one
name. I'll get a red card. Chair, I can put my head on the block that it won't happen again. So it's the last time. We'll forward that, then from time to time we can review it, Chair. But if there are other additional information you may require from us, Chair, and the members, anytime we're at your service. And thank you very much for constructive engagement for this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Members, I'll request you to remain behind and then so that I can do this. I think we're left with one item.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that.
All right. Can we start then? Members, please allow us to highlight something. Members, Baba, we can excuse you now. We're going to another session. We're not expecting you. We expect you next meeting to come. Only two things which we wanted to address now. Wait for us. Yes. I don't think we need it now. You can wait for us outside. We'll see what we can do to assist you. We have figured out. Honorable members, I wanted to highlight something. No. We are out of order. We see he takes it on.
I'm
Patel.